33 minutes past the hour, Texas Standard Time. With oral arguments before the nation's highest court today, the Supremes are tackling what could be one of the most important abortion cases in decades. Whole Woman's Health versus Hellerstedt, a challenge to HB 2. That's the Texas law that requires that both abortion facilities meet the standards of surgical centers and doctors have admitting privileges at nearby hospitals. Now, we've explored the arguments earlier, but with one justice missing and an ideological 4-4 split, now, as a practical matter, what can the court do here? Dahlia Lithwick follows the Supreme Court for Slate. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
What are the possible outcomes? People are talking about the possibility that this could be one of those landmark cases, right?
Well, I think they were saying that until 2 weeks ago when Justice Scalia died unexpectedly. Now, I think with the possibility of a 4-4 split, there's real questions about, you know, what the court could do and what it could mean if the justices tie.
Is it conceivable that facing a 4-4 split, once there's a conference, and there would presumably still be a conference at the end, that the justices could, decide not to decide?
Well, that has happened historically. Sometimes when the court has been shorthanded, the court has said, you know what, we're going to hold this over. We're going to rehear it again next fall when we have, you know, 9 people on the bench. The problem with that, of course, is that given the promises we're hearing from the GOP heads of the Senate Judiciary Committee that there's not going to be a court next fall. I think that the possibility of holding it over and rehearing it in November when there's still only 8 justices becomes less attractive to the court.
You know, when people talk about the 4-4 split, we're really talking in broadest terms about an ideological divide that exists currently on the court. But as we have seen in the past, we've seen a willingness, certainly from Chief Justice Roberts, to rather than follow a particular ideological path, maybe distinguish the case and write the deciding opinion with a holding that a majority of justices can nonetheless sign on to. So we could nonetheless see, even though we do have this ideological split, a final holding that may be decisive, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, specifically, I think the cases that you're referring to are the 2 Obamacare cases. Now, I do think that John Roberts is on the record as feeling very, very strongly about abortion. In other words, I don't think this is a simple one for him to flip on because we know he has strong feelings on these cases. And so I think you're quite right that just generally, he is going to have a strong, strong impulse to do whatever he can to keep the court from exploding onto the front pages in June with a whole bunch of ideologically riven and angry 4-4 cases. That's the last thing he wants the court to look like going into an election.
Is there a possibility that there's a narrow ruling as it relates to Texas, but not a ruling that would be more generalizable across the 50 states?
Well, certainly if the court splits, then you have a very real scenario in which the lower court opinion, that's the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals opinion, becomes controlling law only on the Fifth Circuit. What that's going to mean is that those regulations will be constitutional, but only in Louisiana, Texas, and Mississippi.
Given your experience as a longtime court observer, Dahlia, how do you think this is going to work its way through?
3 weeks ago, I would have said to you, all eyes are on Justice Kennedy. You know, everybody kind of knows what the other players are going to do. An awful lot of commentary this week still suggesting that all eyes are on Justice Kennedy. But I do think that this is a tricky case for even Justice Kennedy and even the Justice Kennedy in 2007, who famously voted to uphold the partial birth abortion ban, the federal partial birth abortion. This is a tough case for him because it purports to protect maternal health. That was what HB 2 was trying to do. But it's going to have the effect of making sure that hundreds and thousands of Texas women either have to drive, you know, 150, 200 miles to clinics that are, you know, giving them 20, 30-day waiting periods. Mm-hmm. So I think that the idea behind his 2007 vote was that he really, really wanted to help women make better decisions. This is not about helping women make better decisions. This is about making sure that women can't have a decision. And that may be a sticky wicket for him. When you remember that in 1992, he upheld Roe v. Wade. He was one of the three crucial plurality votes to uphold Roe v. Wade.
Right.
He said really pointedly that stare decisis mattered to him, that women had reliance on Roe v. Wade. I think that to turn around and say whatever the undue burden test means mm-hmm. after Planned Parenthood versus Casey,
right.
it certainly is okay for, you know, a huge swath of Texas women to have no abortion care. That's not, I don't think that was the core holding of Casey, and I think that's going to be a tough one for him to do.
Dahlia Lithwick is a Supreme Court reporter for Slate Magazine. Dahlia, thank you for taking time to speak with us.
You're so welcome.